All right, so we are starting a new series, and we're going to dive right into the birth of Jesus. Amen? And so as I was studying and as we talked about what we were going to, what our theme is going to be, and we'll talk about, as y'all mostly know, but we're going to talk about that towards the end of my message. But this idea of the birth of Jesus, at face value, we think about all the cool stuff, right? The angels, right? We read the account that, you know, that God, that the angel came and she spoke to Mary, and we see the all of the things. But if you look at this story, this is a wild story. This is a pretty crazy story. When you start diving into the details and you personalize some of the stuff that Mary and Joseph went through, it's pretty alarming. And so, at some points, very disturbing. And for the first couple of years of the birth of Jesus, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Mary and Joseph. And so let's look at some realities of the Christmas story, shall we? And then we'll get to the place where we want to get to this morning. So Matthew chapter 1, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 1. This is Matthew's account, thank you, of the story. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary and being engaged to Joseph, it was discovered that before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her in secret. Let's stop right there. Wow. Wow. The drama is unfolding right away. The drama, small town. It's reindeer on the roof. They're early. That here we have this engaged couple, right? Planning on being married. All of the sudden, the woman is found pregnant. And her account is, it's by the Holy Spirit. Right. And her husband, or the one she's engaged to, doesn't believe her. Doesn't believe her. Mary is alone. Is alone. Mary is just trying to do and be the person. Remember Mary's account in Luke? Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Right? And the whole town, especially the one that she's engaged to, doesn't believe her. But Joseph, being the righteous man, doesn't want to put her to public shame, right? He's a good man. Doesn't want to, the Bible calls him a righteous man, doesn't want to put her to shame. So he says he's going to do, because divorce whenever he is different, engagement was different back in those times, right? It was more of an actual contract, a little bit more of a contract then. So you actually had to divorce her in secret. So here we see Mary and Joseph in a predicament only she knows. Now let's look at it from Joseph's point of view. He may be hurt, distraught, very, at the least, confused. I thought this was a godly woman. Right? But then we see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, but after he had considered these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because she has been, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. So God, in his goodness, goes to Joseph and says, hey, look, I know what you're thinking. It's not that. In a very dramatic way, the angel of the Lord, like He's doing his thing, whatever. He says, as he's thinking about these things, as he's considering these things, the angel of the Lord came to him and speaks to him and says, hey, look, it's not what you think. Joseph, it's not what you think. This is exactly the way Mary said it was, in a very dramatic way. It wasn't the still small voice. It was an angel appeared to Joseph to make sure Joseph gets it, because Joseph is going to play a really important part in this whole story. Right? So, but it's interesting that the angel didn't tell the community. The angel told Mary and Joseph. So it's these two. These two. And then, as the story progresses, the governor decides he wants to raise taxes. So he says, all right, now everybody, we're going to do a census. So that means Joseph has to go with Mary down to Bethlehem, right? Which is about an 80-mile trip. Pregnant, as we will find out, very pregnant. And so they travel for 80 miles, not by car, not with seat warmers, not with heat, not with AC, right? On a donkey. And then after they travel about 80 miles, there's no room for them to stay. There's no room. I'm going to get through this story and then we're going to say some things. Because you're like, this is the worst Christmas story ever. And then we see that here's Jesus being born and laid in a feeding trough. Right? Like, what is Mary and Joseph thinking? This is not the way the story is supposed to go. We're supposed to go to Bethlehem and we're supposed to have a place to stay. Because this is Jesus, after all. Can you find out what that is? Thank you. It's a TV. This is not the way this is supposed to go. And then we know, I'm going to ruin the whole Christmas nativity thing for you this morning. And then we know that about somewhere before 2 years into Jesus' birth, these guys show up from the east, right? Because they followed a star and they traveled afar, right? And they came, and the first person they go to is Herod. I'm wondering how wise these wise men were. And they asked the question to Herod, hey, where's the new king? Oops. Really? You're going to go to Herod and ask him where the new king is? I'm sure they were wise. However, they did give them just a boatload of money, a boatload of stuff, right? Provision, gold, frankincense, myrrh, right? So then, in the midst of all of this stuff, Mary and Joseph are warned in a dream that they need to get out, because what Herod's about to do is incredibly awful. So Herod orders all the murder of every child under the age of 2 in that area. Now, to give you an idea, I did some studies about, so we're talking in this area, just to do some math and some averages, we're talking about 50 children slaughtered by the hand of Herod. But God warns them in a dream, warns Joseph in a dream that they're supposed to go all the way to Egypt. Now they're traveling about 180 miles with a 2-year-old. With a 2-year-old, under 2-year-old. For 180 miles on horseback, whatever they're traveling on. And we learn that they probably, so it's kind of, there's an idea that, this is not in your Bible, most theologians and people will say that there was probably in Alexandria in Egypt a community of Jewish people, right? That they would go down to and they would travel and they probably stayed in this little Jewish community for at least probably around 4 years, if you do the math of when Herod finally dies. Do you think, like, on the way, Mary is looking at this baby and going, man, little one, you're in a lot of trouble. Wouldn't you? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Maybe that would be me. Like, what in the world? So they're there for about 4 years, and then they go back, right? God reveals to them they can go back. So Herod dies, and they go back, and then they realize that Herod's son is just about as ruthless as Herod was. So instead of going somewhere and maybe be anonymous, they go back to Nazareth. Let the rumor mills flow again. There's Mary and Joseph and that baby that God gave them. Right? And then when you think about Nazareth, Nazareth was not a thriving metropolis. As a matter of fact, it's actually, this word Nazareth, actually, if you look at it, it actually means stick. So Jesus was raised in the sticks. Literally, right? Remember Nathanael? When they told him about Jesus? He says, yeah, this Jesus, he's a Nazarene. And Nathanael goes, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This little hick town in the sticks? Why there is all this trouble and drama around this baby? See, because if God was really with them, if this was really Jesus, then surely there would have been a place for them to stay. Surely that the baby, that the Son of Man would not be put in a feeding trough. What about these clueless wise men? Surely. Surely this wouldn't have happened. Surely, surely, there wouldn't have been all this drama around this baby. Surely. Surely we wouldn't have to travel with a 2-year-old all the way down 100 or 150 miles down with a week trip walk, by the way. And then trip back with a 6-year-old, where Jesus would have probably learned how to talk and walk in Egypt. Matthew chapter 1, Now, all this took place in verse 22 to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son. And they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You see, was God with Mary and Joseph? Here is the actual incarnate of Emmanuel, Jesus, in the midst of them. Yet all this drama is going on around them. All this difficulty and trouble is going on all around. Are you relating to this? I thought Jesus was in my life, and I have all this drama. I have all this stuff going on around me. We have a culture in our American culture that's just crazy, right? We have drama all around. How many of y'all are dramaless? Like, let me come stay with you, right? We have stuff going on all around. People are against you, pushing your buttons, right? All the time. You see, but God is telling a bigger story. You see that the drama of the virgin birth did a lot of things. Not to mention one of them being to fulfill the prophecy about Jesus. Drama would have to circle around all of that. You see, the trip to Bethlehem while she was very pregnant, difficult road, was to fulfill another prophecy that the child would be born in Bethlehem. See, it was questioned, like these Jewish theologians would be questioned all the time. How is he going to be called a Nazarene and be born in Bethlehem? It doesn't make sense. Seems to be a contradiction in the scripture. But that 80-mile trip, see, God was telling a bigger story. See, God had a plan. The flight down into Egypt and the flight back was to show the world that just like Moses led the people out of Egypt, there'd be another Savior that would come out of Egypt.
Come on.
See, all of this had a purpose and a plan. But then there's this wild twist. To the very place he was born, the very place that he grew up in Nazareth. Let's get back to that word. What did Nazareth mean, somebody?
Stick.
Or branch. Isaiah 11, chapter 1 says this. Come on, Jesus. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse. He's talking about the line of David. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, a Spirit of counsel and strength, a Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. See, he was talking about a branch that was going to come out of the line of David. What does this scripture mean? It has to do with he is the Messiah that was promised. He is the root. He is the branch from David, born in the branch called Nazareth. See, God is telling such a bigger story than what that momentary difficulty is telling. See, there's a bigger picture. Question, did God cause all this drama? No! God didn't cause a slaughter, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. See, we live in a world with corruption. We live in a world not the way God intended it to be. We live in what we call a fallen world. So we live in the world where Jesus would later say that he is, this is the enemy, right? That he is the God of this world. It causes destruction, difficulty, harm. And then people caught up in ungodliness cause chaos in our world. And let me tell you this. When Jesus said, hey, look, in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In this world, he says, don't be shocked when you see difficulties and troubles arise. See, here's the thing that we can't miss as the people of God. That we are not absolved from difficulty. Mary and Joseph were not absolved from difficulty. But you see, God had a bigger plan. God has bigger things than just that momentary light affliction, right? That momentary thing where all of a sudden that thing, whatever you thought was supposed to work out, didn't work out like you thought it would. But we focus in on that moment in our own lives where God says, I got a bigger plan. If you could only see. Don't focus on this little thing that's all messed up. And don't focus on the fact that you had to put the baby in a feeding trough. Yeah. But focus on the fact that there's a bigger picture. That, listen, we can trust in God. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. I can trust in the Lord that He is good. What shall we say about all these things? Romans chapter 8 and 31. For if God is for us, who can be against us? We can rely on God. You can rely on God being your Emmanuel. Your Emmanuel. My Emmanuel. That God is with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. He says, haven't I told you be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's interesting that scripture tells them that, look, there's going to be some times where you're going to feel discouraged. There's a warning where you're going to feel like nothing's going right. But don't be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God. Matthew 28. Verse 20, Emmanuel himself says this. It says, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded them, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's a question. In your trouble, in your difficulty, do you believe that God is your Emmanuel? Do you believe that maybe your story is not this little instance in your life? Maybe these last 2 years are just a blip on the screen of the story that God wants to tell in your life. Maybe some proofs of God's faithfulness that He wants to develop within you. Does God cause all this? No. But He says He works all things together for good. You can trust Him. You can trust this morning that God is your Emmanuel. This Christmas, our series is called Emmanuel. It's God with us. We're going to start understanding what Emmanuel is to us. We're going to see what it means that God, through Jesus, is our Emmanuel. We're going to experience the Emmanuel. And then we're going to learn how to express the Emmanuel, this series. So if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, I forgot this caveat. You see, Mary and Joseph weren't just kind of going with the flow. Even in all the difficulties, they obeyed the word of the Lord. They remained faithful. When God told them to move, they moved. When God told them to do something or act a certain way, they did. When God spoke to Joseph, to man up, you may face some really bad stuff from your brothers and your friends. Really, Joseph? The Holy Spirit? Yeah. That's the way God showed me. Not back down. Then face. And then go back to Nazareth to face. Because they were men and women of God. And what they were carrying. You see, through their obedience, you can't separate the names Joseph and Mary from this story. Because of their faithfulness and their obedience. They'll forever be with the name of Jesus in his birth, Joseph and Mary. Amen? Because God honors them. Because they were part of a greater story. Let's all stand together. Worship team, you can come back up. This morning, you can trust him. You can trust him. Bow your heads with me for a minute. Maybe you're like Mary, or the way I would be if I was them. Man, this following God thing is tough. Maybe you're in this place and you don't understand why things right now are so hard. You don't understand why things are so difficult. Could it be that you're carrying something in you? A story, a purpose. That God's not through telling. And could it be that we look at our circumstances through our finite eyes and our moment by moment eyes, and we don't see that possibly God has a bigger picture? He says in James, it says, let patience have its perfect work so that you will be complete and lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. So maybe the deal is we can't see it from where we're at. But we can trust that for the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. We can trust that in all of these things, that Emmanuel is with us. He said, I'll never leave you. He probably reminded it because he knew we'd forget. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you.